Welcome to Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, where wisdom comes from everywhere. This is a podcast about generational wisdom shared to help build a bridge for future generations and to build stronger communities through education, technology, and health. Welcome to Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom. Hola, hola, gente, and welcome to today's episode. My name is Teresa Gonzalez, and I am very appreciative of your time today. And after a long pause, I've taken some time to do some reflecting on this nation, what we're about, and especially after processing the recent election results. I know, like you and me, many of us worked so hard, and we're still in disbelief what we're experiencing today. However, this journey has led me back to thinking about our first mother, and that's the Mother Earth, and about my family and community, and understanding, you know, how we can all make this time a better place to heal our souls and to reclaim our power, because I know so many of us feel diminished in this moment. You know, what we're experiencing now stems from a lot of unhealed wounds in our country's really bloody past. And I feel as we move forward, our humanity must exist in radical inclusion and love, embracing our collective strength and wisdom. And I mean all of us together to survive and to exist. This episode is dedicated to all the mothers who see and nurture life in every form, yet still press on to make this world better, no matter how hard the days go on. So thank you for joining us today as we continue this healing journey together. So today, we're honored to have with us two remarkable community leaders working at the intersection of social justice, health, and cultural preservation from Instituto Familiar de la Raza, a 46-year-old healing and wellness community services organization here in San Francisco, California. Dr. Angela Gallegos Castillo, born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area with deep Mexican roots, received her PhD from UC Berkeley in ethnic studies with an emphasis on feminist studies, youth development, and race relations. She is trained as a qualitative researcher and brings over 25 years of working in social justice efforts. She is bilingual, Spanish-English, and bicultural, Mexican-American, and as a lifelong learner of indigenous healing practices across Abaya Yaya, and brings this wisdom into her community-based work. She currently serves as a director of communications for Instituto Familiar de la Raza. And joining her also in this episode is Carlos Izaguirre, a Guatemalan-born nutritionist and community leader who directs the Indigena Health and Wellness Program at Instituto Familiar de la Raza. Carlos leads cultural grounded initiatives addressing the unique needs of indigenous and Latinx populations through mental health services, care management, nutrition education, and spiritual emotional healing. Together, these two visionaries are working to transform communities through a powerful blend of cultural wisdom, evidence-based practices, and compassionate leadership. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Angela Gallegos Castillo and Carlos Izaguirre. Welcome to Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom. My very special guest today is Angela Gallegos Castillo of Instituto de Familiar de la Raza, and also Carlos Izaguirre. And he is joining us today as two wonderful individuals that are going to be grounding us today in health and wellness for our comunidad. Not only just grounding us, but to actually give us the spirit of our ancestors to really bring forth a sense of purpose and guidance to really give us a path forward into what is happening today in our society and what has brought us to this moment from past experiences and trauma that we must heal from as a community to set the stage forward for us to be together stronger and to really work towards humanity in this day. So welcome.
Thank you. So wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I mean, I could just cry just saying all of that, because what's happening today when we're looking at the first 90 days of this administration and how it's really set a precedence towards our community is really triggering, not just for first gens and all the people that you serve in Instituto, which are from Central America, Mexico, all around, mostly, you know, the indigena population, all of us. It's like, it's really triggering. And the fact that we don't have the tools or, you know, the Western medicines that are available to us, it kind of leaves us really lost, including myself, I like to say, you know, in that capacity.
Yeah, it is very, very difficult right now during this time with this new administration. And a lot of what I believe Instituto is about is the Instituto is calling us to remember who we are. And in order to do that, we need to kind of slow down because of the fast paced and the movement happening now. So if we may begin by slowing down and calling in our antepasados, our ancestros, our abuelitas y abuelitos, who were always with us. I think that the beauty of Instituto is that it is an organization that was birthed with recognizing who we are as a gente, Chicanx, Latinx, indígena. And the founders of Instituto understood that in order for us to really be the full, you know, community that we are, is that we need to remember who we are in our DNA, in our cultura. And so I'd like to kind of just set this time and space for us to call in our ancestors, for us to kind of ground. And I'll invite everybody to kind of sit wherever you are, whether it's a couch or a chair. If you can sit upright with your back straight, your feet on the floor, touching Madre Tierra, ¿verdad? I think part of the task is for us to remember our wholeness, our physical, our spiritual, our emotional bodies need rest and need anchoring in love and in just community right now. So I'm going to open up space for me as someone who's been working in comunidad all my life, is understanding that part of our role is to co-create the safe space for people to walk with us. And so I'm going to call in our antepasados and the energies of the East, which is the direction of the rising sun. Every morning we greet the sun. And so this is a direction of illumination. And we're going to call that energy in so that we can have open minds and open hearts in this conversation, to really connect to our inner light también, ¿verdad? Él es yo, soy Mateo. And I'm going to invite us to be and look at the direction of the west. And the west is the direction of the water. It's also seen as direction of the feminine energy, creación, creation. So I'm calling in those energies to walk with us, for us to, in this conversation, create the space for creating ideas, talking about new ideas, taking care of our emotions, water. Que todo fluya, ¿verdad? Que todo fluye en la conversación. And then invite us to look at the direction of the north, the direction of our ancestors, right? These are the very strong folks that have come before us, whose shoulders we stand on. I'm here. You're here, Carlos is here, because others have paved the way for us to be in this moment. And so calling in the energies of our antepasados, our abuelitos, abuelitas, thank you for this beautiful cultura, ritual, medicine that you have left behind for us to connect with, to heal with. It is with our antepasados, that they leave this idea that together we're better. Collective support, creando comunidad to support each other. So ajo, él es Dios o Mateo. And then we go to the direction of the south, calling in the energies of the south. And this direction is representative of los niños, the youthfulness, the energy of young people and children, the curiosity, the asking questions, the inquisitiveness. So calling in for us to always be in awe of the world and to ask a lot of questions, to learn and to be open to that learning. And then we're going to go to the direction of the sky, Tata Dios, Tonatiuh, the sun, the stars, constellations, the universe. This is a direction that helps us understand that we are one. We are one with nature. We are one with the cosmos. We are one with the universe. And this really helps us understand that, you know, we are not alone and that we always have others walking with us, behind us, in front of us, below us and above us. And then we move to the direction of Madre Tierra, Pachamama, Gaia, Mother Earth, really understanding that she is truly our mother. She is someone that is caring for us because she gives us water, she gives us food, she gives us the wind, the four elements, fire. And so we thank her for everything she does for us, the air we breathe, my God. I really do truly hope that we take up the mantle of being better ambassadors, right? To be better stewards of taking care of her. And then we come back to the center, right? In the circulo, this imaginary circle. Those of you who are listening through your ears, that we are here in the circulo de corazones, reconnecting with each other's essence of spirit. And so really being grateful to be in this circle right now and grateful to our ancestors, the Ramatush Ohlone, want to acknowledge them as stewards of this land, unceded land that we are privileged to be on, and honoring them and their spirit. And they continue and they are here still today, really thanking them for allowing us to be here as well and honoring the land that we're in and on. Thank you for that.
No, thank you. That was powerful and very calming. So that's great. And, you know, Carlos, I'd like you to introduce yourself as part of this opening as well, and what you'd like to bring to this conversation opening.
Thank you. And thank you, Angela. This is the way that we start every conversation, every meeting, in every space that the Instituto holds for the community. I am Carlos Izaguirre. I am a proudly Latino, indigena, queer, and I'm present here with my two spirits. I am the director of the Indigena Health and Wellness Program. That is a program who serves the indigenous community living in San Francisco. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you both here. Angela and I both shared a wonderful group of women through How Women Lead, a Latina cohort where we really forged some really strong bonds. And that's why I'm very grateful for your presence today. And to talk about Instituto, you know, many people here don't understand the mission district here in San Francisco and the history. As we do the land recognition and we talk about how important it is of who was here before, Instituto has been here for 40 years, right?
46 years now.
Yeah. And what we want to talk about is how Instituto came to be a part of, you know, this area, which has a lot of strong Latino roots in the Mission District here in San Francisco, which is changing very rapidly, unfortunately. And the cultura to keep here is very much this building as a resource of services and mental health for the community. So, Angela, can you tell us a little bit about Instituto and why it came to be and the services and the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Instituto comes out of the 70s, the 60s and the 70s during the social movements of that time where, you know, we recognized as a community that we were not being served by local government. We were being marginalized, set aside at a time when always, you know, community needs resources and services. And literally, like many of our gains, you know, a group of Latinos, Chicanos, Mexicanos, Latin Americans came together because they saw the need for mental health services in our community here in the Mission. And they were literally about to sue the city when they finally were able to advocate in solidarity with other racial ethnic groups, the African American community, the API community, supported the Mexicano Latino community to really bring resources to the community to organize this idea of what an instituto can be. And they literally, you know, chose the word instituto because they knew that there was a lot of stigma around mental health. Mm. And so they chose the word instituto because it's a house of learning. Mm. So how do we learn about ourselves? How do we learn about our anxieties? How do we learn to be better people, be better parents, better, you know, children? It's, you know, they decided it best to call it Instituto Familiar de la Raza. And so, you know, part of the story is they had a tamalada to raise money to pay for the 501c3 application right. They had to pay for in Sacramento. So, you know, the tamalada, the coming together of community, and really having the norte was how do we create and support each other to create health and well-being in our Chicano, Latino, Indigena community. Not really Indigena language at that time. It was, but broadly, right? So, but the point was, how do we bring health and healing to our communities?
Yep. And so we are here in the heart of the Mission. So if you hear a lot of, you know, background noise, we are just right off of Mission Street and we're here in the offices. But what and it's very accessible to a lot of folks here, not just here, but when we talk about the community, the extended community of, you know, indigenas and the people here in California that come here, they have a hard time even understanding that there are services. Like you said, it's still a stigma today, right? It's still a stigma today. And then it's like, where do they even think that, where did mental health services come from, which is a Western ideology, right? Like you go to therapy, but this isn't really the therapy that is Westernized. So Carlos, do you want to expand upon that a little bit about the community and these resources of service?
Yes. And following the story of Instituto, I will say that it was around 2010 when our former executive director, Dr. Estela, she said to the board of supervisors in the city, we need money to allocate money just for the indigenous community. We were always counting into account with the broader Latino community. And she said we need different funds to create a space for them to heal the way that we heal in our countries, in our towns. We have a lot of communities, they're coming here from rural towns in South Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador. We have a big mobilization during the 80s because of the civil wars. So the growing community was expecting more services, not just understanding their languages. We have more than 5 Mayan languages speaking, is spoken here in the Bay Area. And not just their language, but also their culture and the way that they heal. So that started with the program, providing services, trying to understand that our indigenous community, they are going to go through a different path to get to the mental health that we want to provide to them. So we start with peer support groups held by members of the same indigenous community. And that's how we start seeing this opportunity. And we are growing through these 14 years of servicing specifically the indigenous community.
Yeah. And they are able to have a pathway of keeping not only their culture, their language, but how do they get back to being a surviving human being from being traumatized in those areas? And I think that's the services here that people look for because, but again, I think it's comes down to how do they find you? How do they know, right? They're referenced into your care and services.
So most of our folks come in because they know someone who knows us, right? In community, we have had a long-standing reputation to be culturally responsive, linguistically responsive. And so we do depend a lot on community word. And we also are part of a larger Chicano Latino network of nonprofits that we also cross-reference. Mm-hmm. We refer to each other. And so that's one of the beauties of San Francisco. So from the birthing story, if you will, we were already doing cross-racial solidarity work, and it was, you know, people of color supporting people of color. Mm-hmm. And so Instituto has grown over the years because of the need to respond to the needs of the community, responding to the needs of the community. And so La Cultura Cura, which is a program that we have, was birthed because RAP, a previous program, which was a school for adolescents vulnerable to violence and engaged with the juvenile justice system, closed, and there was a gap there. So Instituto stepped in. Roadmap to Peace, which is now a 10-year collaborative of 7 organizations, was birthed because we lost 6 young men within a 5-week period in 2012. And, you know, so the examples go on and on as to the community coming together, saying, we need to do things differently. How do we help our community not die? Like activists were saying, we're tired of paying for funerals. We want to make sure our young people are safe. So Roadmap to Peace with Birth, I had the privilege of supporting that collective development of that infrastructure of the program, literally creating a whole new service network with the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. So, and then Indigena Health, also another need in our comunidad for Indigenous people. And I wanted to highlight something about how we view healing, mm-hmm. because it's very different than just a Western way of approaching mental health. Our understanding as a community and Instituto is trauma does not happen in a vacuum. Trauma is not a sole individual experience. Yes, there are examples of trauma. An accident, you get into a car accident. But when we're speaking to the experience of our diverse community, where we have to take into account migration experience, immigration, our diversity of cultura, mm-hmm. right? We really need to understand that historical trauma is just as important to understand as the context of the individual trauma. So there's relationships about historical trauma, intergenerational trauma, individual trauma, and understanding the dynamics of those family trauma. Mm-hmm. And healing is recognizing the complex nature of that and recognizing the strength of who we are as a people. So the term La Cultura Cura is so very important because the ways that we heal are rooted, Instituto's perspective is rooted in cultura without romanticizing cultura. I think that's very important because we have been hurt so much. The LGBTQ community has been very much hurt by our cultura in the rechazo, no? De quién soy yo, de quiénes son. So we can't romanticize cultura, but take the best of our cultura and heal those things that we need to heal from our cultura.
Right, right. And so when you talk about that type of integration, how does that work here for, you know, we're talking multi-generations, like from the children all the way up to the elderly is the services I see here in the office that you provide. So how does that come to, how did Instituto bring those programs to see every generation that they must integrate in for the healing process?
So I'm going to talk about our community perspective and then Carlos, you want to follow. So how you define a problem does inform solution, your solution to it, right? So because we understand trauma not to be an individual experience, we really do bring in the collective knowledge and cultura. So for example, part of our healing practices are drumming circles. How do we integrate music, drumming? How do we bring in our bodies into a healing, a somatic experience of healing? Our posadas, our Dia de los Muertos, our community cultural events are just as important for residents to feel a sense of belonging. In a city that has been gentrified and has pushed out 5,000 Latino families in the last 10 years, where do we find our place? Within our mission community that has been gentrified so quickly. We have so many new residents. So for us, it is so critical that we continue these cultural community events, Carnaval, Las Fiestas de las Américas. So all of those events are opportunities for us to connect mind, body, and soul. Porque necesitamos nuestra cultura, necesitamos nuestra música, because that is part of health and well-being. It's not just about sitting in an office and talking to a therapist. Yes, that is important too, and don't want to knock that. People need different things. We have a term in Instituto, many medicines. Each person is going to need different things. And so with a therapist or without, it's important to feel a connection and a sense of belonging in a community where you live.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having these community events. You can see that we are working in the different programs. We are 7 programs, and now we just have a new one. So now we are 7. And we see the community interact, and we say hello to our clients that happens to be clients in other programs because of the kids. In the case of Indigena Health and Wellness, we provide services primarily for newcomers, and then we make referrals for the other programs. If they have kids, if they have youth, we are interconnected. And I think that is one of the big success of Instituto, is that providing services for the entire family. We have seen generations coming to therapy, la abuelita, then the mother, now the daughter. And during these 40 years, we don't need to do the outreach. We still do outreach, but it's word of mouth. Families coming together. It's really interesting the way that we interact. And sometimes they don't even know that we work together. We are an organization of 120 plus and 7 programs. We are distributed in the mission. We have 6 different locations. They don't even know that we are interconnected until we have those kind of events, and we are here as a big family.
Hola, hola, community leaders, business folks, and podcasters. Did you know, according to recent studies, that over 32% of Americans listen to podcasts on a regular basis? That's according to Edison Research at the Infinite Dial. So as a business, are you ready to elevate your digital marketing and adopt a podcasting strategy? Well, now is the time to take your brand and that message to the next level. At LatinasB2B.marketing, we believe in building that business ecosystem for you through impactful narratives and innovative media marketing. With 20 years of Silicon Valley knowledge and experience right here in the Bay Area, we're ready to have that discussion with you. So to learn more, reach out to us at LatinasB2B.marketing under services to learn more. Gracias. That's amazing. And I think one of the contributions that you bring is also the outreach to extended healthcare service providers, from what you were telling me, of part of the programs like UCSF or the other big hospitals where they usually see those folks first, and that can leave a person very shocked and stuck. They're the language barrier, the distrust, right? Just overall fear while you're trying to get treated. So you provide a very important outreach program to this extended, I want to say, medical network. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think Instituto, when families find Instituto, it becomes a portal for so many other connections to other services, which they don't have that information, right? Or the network when they first arrive, especially for recent arrivals, right? And so we do our best to ensure that we're connected to the other resources and services. We are very much involved with UCSF as an instituto, and our relationship with UCSF is really deep because I think part of our role is to inform and educate mainstream systems mm-hmm. about how to work with our community, right? And so Carlos and I are very much involved with the DEI work on campus with UCSF. I've been involved with many research projects. I am considered a senior community advisor, like a community faculty with UCSF, and all for the purposes of informing and helping these systems better understand how to work with our community. And I think it's very important that we produce knowledge and data and understanding so that people understand, you know, what works. How do we build culturally responsive programs, services, and workforce? So Instituto really does play the role of educator to individuals in the healthcare system, to especially in mental health, to serve our community better.
And during the last year, I will say COVID changed a lot of things, and partnering with DPH and UCSF, we've been able to advocate for the rights of the community, mostly for language access. We produce videos to promote COVID vaccine testing in different Mayan languages. They gave us the opportunity to really create this different approach for this specific community. And that's amazing because now we know what to do instead of like they tell us what to do. We are just like working together to advocate for the right of the different community that we serve.
Right. So that brings up a very good question for me to ask you, given we're in the, you know, very information, you know, drowning society, right? And how information across the internet and the iPhone and all of technology has accelerated tremendously. You provide a resource of information of videos that are given the trust factor. And that is the one thing in our community is trust factor. And where is the information valid? And you speak very specifically about the language barriers, because that is the one thing that is lacking across all platforms for retrieving information. But this community and this organization has been around for 40 years, serving the community with a legacy of knowing history of what has worked, what's proven, and having a trust factor with the extended healthcare community here. So what would you give as advice to people that, because COVID was very detrimental to our community, to, you know, the lack of resources, information, and where to go. So that could happen again, right? And people are creating their own little silos of information. What would you say to those folks today about that, you know, how we don't repeat that again, and having Instituto as a hub for that information resource?
There are two things I think about when you're asking that question. For me, it's one, we need to continue building our institutions that reflect us and that respond to our needs. That is the number one lesson I took from the 60s and the 70s, the Chicana movement, the Chicano movement, mm-hmm. the social movements, the civil rights movement. we need to build our own institutions. That is one lesson that I'm very clear about. And the second is, not only do we need to build our own institutions with the flair and the flor and the language and the cultura, we also need to educate the mainstream systems, the local governments, the local departments, our electeds, about the needs of the community, and for us, them to invest in our communities, not just the institutos of the world, but really, how do we better train, especially, right, the next generation of healthcare providers working in our communities? Because let's face it, and let's be very honest, as an instituto, we're having a hard time hiring bilingual, bicultural clinicians. Why is that? Because we don't have enough of them graduating. Not enough of us are going into the field. So how do we work with institutions, funders, partners to support more and invest more in our communities, in our gente, educationally, so that we can have this bilingual, bicultural workforce? So supporting that. And then how do you work with non-Latinos, non-indígenas, to better understand how to work with us in the community so they are not doing harm, the racism, the discrimination, or just understanding the different cosmovision that we look at life differently. So Western ways of knowing aren't always it for us.
Right.
So those are the things I think about when you ask that question.
And together with that, I will ask, trust the community-based organizations. We are the experts doing this work because we work together with community. We listen to them. We have meetings with them all the time to know what they want. Also, we need more people, our people, in those spaces of decision, taking the power, taking decision. That's important. I remember listening in one of your podcasts, like, our people are selected to be part of the studies, right? And we need that data, but we also need people managing, directing programs and organizations to trust CBOs like Instituto.
I want to just add something, because this is really important for me, that it's no longer about identity politics. Mm-hmm. You could be a Latina, a Latino, Chicana, Chicano, indígena, whatever you want to call yourself, be in a position of power and yet not do very much for our gente. So for me, it's about the values and the principles that one holds. Mm-hmm. And you can be brown, green, or purple. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Do you hold the values of community, cultural responsive, you know, service? How do you support that human interaction, community engagement, listening to community voices to then respond in an effective way to the need, for the needs of the community? So for me, it's really important that I say that, because we have voted people into Sacramento and state government, and yet there's no reflection of their decisions about how to support those most vulnerable.
Right. And that brings me to a point of our power, bringing it back to power, right? When we put those folks in power, that's the one thing we need to reflect back on in our state of non-reactiveness, is that the power we hold here in this country is the power to vote. They work for us. And if that is not working out, we have to pull that back and vote for the person that will take the action. Maybe that's you listening today. Maybe that's you that wants to start a connection to Instituto here to help your community in the rural areas of California that are supporting comunidad, that are out there in the fields, that don't have any resources out there. You know, the translation of language and English, that is a huge thing I'm noticing still today, even with the amount of Spanish speakers. How do we translate the information correctly? Or if we can, how do we get it out to the community, right? Because there is a fear factor that it is, again, not the right information. So I want to talk about your Promotoras model, right? and how that kind of leverages a little bit of that. But like you said, you're having a hard time finding folks to help bring these programs as outreach, or what is it that you would require for such a program?
I'm going to defer to Carlos because he has promotores in his program specifically. And then I can follow up with the larger view of like statewide.
Okay.
So the promotoras model is a model that is working in Latin America in rural areas. That's the way that the health system is working in those areas where you cannot have access to public health. They have the midwives, the comadronas, and they have the promotoras working in the communities, just like promoting vaccination, promoting any kind of mental health or health messages. And we have the same here. California is really strong doing that. Instituto and San Francisco started this with the AIDS epidemic, with the promotoras promoting health for the queer community, for their families. And then with the different programs, in specific with the indigena program, knowing that our community, a lot of our folks, they don't know how to read or write. The only approach is like by talking to the community and spreading the word about the new things coming. When we have COVID, we did that, but other things in the past, vaccination, promoting the services that Instituto has. So it's a large group of members, leaders of our community. Some of them, they're working just because they love the community. They've been doing that for so long. And we've been developing this program where members of the community now are part of the staff and they hold groups. And they have these peer support groups that is the first approach for mental health for the newcomers. So it's a very important model to keep working with the indigenous community.
Mm-hmm. It's a proven and effective model for decreasing the health disparities in our country. And in California, the last Department of Health leader, and I can't remember his name, he worked with promotoras when he was a doctor in LA. And when he became the director of the statewide public health system, he began the work to integrate the promotora model into the Medi-Cal system, where nonprofit or organizations, hospitals can draw down money to support this model, to support community-led leaders. That's what they are. It's like my parents were promotores without that title back in the 50s when they first came. And, you know, there are certain individuals, you know, probably know them. They're charismatic, that have the information, that the people go to them naturally. These are the promotores, the natural lay leaders that we have in our community. We have so many wonderful, strong women and men that have information and they want to support and want to help others. Those are promotoras, you know, naturally. And so this model lends itself so well because it also is about the social network. Mm-hmm. What is the social and the cultural capital we can maximize to support each other? And so bringing information, ¿verdad?, to the families and to el barrio and the neighborhoods is all about getting these wonderful, strong people who know how to connect with others to bring the information. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully, California has now a new benefit for promotoras. Yes, they need to work on the hourly rate and increase it because we don't value, mm-hmm. you know, in general, right, Western ways of being, they don't value people without degrees, but they have what the system cannot get. Like, that's why they hire a lot of our nonprofits, including ourselves, to reach the community, because they don't have that cultural capital. And so we need to value and honor the strength of our community members, and that they do play a role in helping improve the community health of our towns and cities.
And in California, with about 40% of the population being Latino, it's very important for us to recognize the power and the strength there. Not only that, but it's a direct correlation to the gutting of services that is happening today, and how that just shows you that the more we advance ourselves in a community, a healthy community, an educated community, a foundational community that can actually provide more legacy traditions of well-being and care, it just makes us stronger, which is this whole point of stopping what's happening right now to our communities and extended communities today. This podcast was sponsored by 5E Leadership and Marketing, bringing you leadership and 20 years of Silicon Valley marketing experience here in the Bay Area. Go to latinasb2b.com to learn more. Gracias. I want us to leave here with some very powerful takeaways of not feeling powerless, not feeling that we don't have access to information or trust and truth in our community. So I want to ask Carlos here. Carlos, how did you get involved in the start of something like the Instituto? And how did you, you know, come this pathway to continue on and to build upon what has started here? Just also for, you know, the Two-Spirit community as well.
It's a very important question, because I made that question myself many times, right? It's important for the generations to be part of this culture that they, it's part of them. We have a lot of clinicians, we have a lot of promotoras, we have a lot of staff that they are second, third generation, and the way that they connect with their culture is like by being here in Instituto. That's a way to provide services, and it's very important because you provide services that are cultural, important for the community. Also, being involved with all the activity that we have, not just with the Instituto, but around the mission, we have things going on like every weekend, be in touch with your community, the needs of your community, recognize the importance of culture, and just like reappropriate the value of being indigenous, being queer, being Latino.
Being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I think to piggyback off that is like to remember who you are and your ancestry. So much of the mainstream messages assimilate, do, you know, be modern, quote unquote, right? Speak only English. But really, you know, think about the beauty of our culturas in plural. And de donde eres, Argentinian, Colombian, Mexican, Salvadorian, Guatemalteco. Be proud of who you are, because it is our identity that gives us our power. Knowing who we are is power. And so I would invite us all to remember who we are, and to talk to our elders, talk to your tía, talk to your abuelita, abuelito, because they have the stories. They have the stories of who we are, where we came from, what's important, what drove my mother, what drove my father to be here in this country, what were their dreams? Because those stories of strength, resilience will help us continue to be strong. Like I gained strength from knowing the stories of my parents and who my abuelitas and abuelitos were, even though I didn't grow up with them because they lived in Mexico and we lived here. As a second generation Chicana, and my children are second and third because my husband's immigrant Costa Rican, and so they're a mix. But sharing those stories with their children, with, you know, invite people to share those family stories, porque that is the gold, that is the beauty and the power of understanding who you are, because when you know who you are, you're stronger. And there's just so much, because I think there's a point I wanted to make about the importance of stories in our community.
Well, the stories go around, I say, the table, right? When we sit down and as we were saying with Rob, our engineer, we'll share this too on there, Rob, you're not editing this out, is the story of his grandmother passing down a recipe book of Creole food and having that to pass on to his. So it's like our stories, our food, our journeys, the even the trauma we must uncover to heal from it. And that is, I think, where you want to go with that.
Yes, we need to remember that we have the tools in our cultura. For example, if you think about it, therapists are a relatively new idea. A trained professional sitting down with you, asking you questions, that is a relatively new concept. What have we had over centuries? The comadre, the compadre, the family members were and have been those support, no, in our family. So I want people to remember that we have tools in our cultura.
Way before
these Western notions of professionals. Tú eres mi otro yo. And Lakech, it's a Nahuatl term that says, tú eres mi otro yo. And so we are mirrors to each other and we can support each other in that way. You don't have to have a degree to listen to your comadre with a problem they're having maybe and offering a solution and problem solving and brainstorming. So I want to remind us that we have this beautiful comadrazgo concept, right? That is about supporting each other emotionally. And we don't have to medicalize ourselves with everything. We're sad. Okay, we're sad. Let us be sad. And then we support each other to move on. We don't have to DSM for it, you know? What are you suffering from? And have this medical term labeling.
Right.
But that is the Western categorization concept. We can be sad and it's okay. And then we move on.
We can heal from it. But I think the tools and resources that I'm learning from in my own way is there is this ancestral ways. And then there's also, how do I function in the structure of how this manifests out, that I can be a person that can keep going in this society. If I was back in, you know, a homeland of mine, we wouldn't have these constructs of these discussions, right? The DSM-4, the book that's like 5 inches thick. And if you're in the arena of therapy, you know what that is in social work. It's part of your education. But the point that we're making is that we do have our family resources. We bring them together. Instituto is a part of that kind of interwoven necessity for folks in the community, working with extended healthcare providers. I think you're really a model for how you can work with, you know, showing folks how your work with the extended healthcare providers really does show a way of a solution base to getting people back, you know, to really being integrated into their families and community. It's really hard these days for us to find our ways back. And so I want to thank you both. And I just want to leave us with some actionable items here. Dr. Angela, let's talk about that. We didn't get into all that with, you know, your degrees and your experience at UC Berkeley, correct? As professor, profa here. And then also with Carlos, having his experience, you know, bringing in all the community of Two-Spirit and the queer community from an indigena, you know, the Yucatan and the Central American aspect. I mean, those things are very powerful to see how far you can rise and bring all that knowledge into a spectrum of just power and beauty, I think, in my perspective, which is why we're having this conversation. So what would you like to leave us with today in that information of we are powerful, we are seen in this community? Obviously, we're being heard today. This is a data point that will never go away, by the way, in technology, we are archiving the solutions and bringing forth a new generation of ideas to leave here. So what would you like to leave us with?
I think I'm channeling our ex-executive director, Dr. Estela Garcia, and she always talked about the integration of strategies and healing practices that we have at our disposal. It's not that Western ways of knowing or knowledge are bad and Indigenous culture is good. No, it's what is it that you need, and really taking time to slow down and say, you know what, today I need a limpia. Tomorrow I need a therapist, you know, but it's okay to use both.
Yeah.
And really the only one that knows what you need, it may be that you need to go salsa dancing for a night, or you need to go to Rob's house to eat food because he's a good cook. It could be as simple as that to bring joy back. And so we are living in such a difficult time because of many things. It's not just about this administration, by the way. It's been long in coming, these systems that were not designed for us. Actually, they were designed so that we wouldn't be in these systems, that we were kept in our place. It is time for us to remember that our language, our cultura, our healing practices are just as valid and just as effective when we find them and we practice them. So go and dance salsa and go eat that wonderful, you know, Puerto Rican food. And remember, you're not alone. This country is all about individualism. Our culturas as Latinoamericanos, it's about the colectiva. It's about the community and the collective. And so find your peeps. It's what I tell my kids all the time. Find your peeps. There are people out there that are like you, that align with you. Those are your gente. And that's where you need to find home so that you do have a sense and feeling of belonging and safety.
And listening to that is like having your people, how proud we feel to work in this organization. Now that we are having this conversation, that you say this could be an example for other cities, other states to do the same for the community. That's very important to see our clinicians. They are not in conflict with our ancestral wisdom and knowledge. They offer invitations to ceremonias that we have every so often, which is very important. And it will be great to see more organizations like this. I remember my grandma. She came to the States 30 years ago. She's Mayan from Guatemala. She passed 3 years ago, and she didn't have all the resources that we are offering to the community. She lives in Bakersfield, and now I think that every time that I'm working with one of my own, I think about her and all the opportunity that she didn't have. So it's beautiful to be here and to be listened and acknowledged.
Yes, I love all of it. And this is San Francisco is very unique, but it has a powerful history, as does California with its legacy, you know, all the way back, right, to, you know, 1848, you know, and before. So, I mean, there's a lot of history here we have to uncover and to talk about to our families so that we can all heal. And the most important is, you know, back, you know, how far back we can go is even better. So I want to thank you so much, Angela, for being here. And then also Carlos for sharing your information. And where can we find you? Where can people find you? Because they are going to be looking online for this organization.
So our website is ifrsf.org. So it's Instituto Familiar de la Raza San Francisco, is the letters, mm-hmm. is on the website. And our phone number, 1-415-229-0500. And we have a bilingual receptionist, so you can speak in Spanish or English.
And we are also in social media. We have a YouTube channel. We have Instagram.
Okay. And the services are bilingual. And then you also have an interpreter.
We have interpreters. We have a web of interpreters in case we need to have that service for some of the clients. Mm-hmm. We don't do it directly, but we do their referral.
So we have services here for folks that want to reach out to Instituto de Familia de la Raza here in San Francisco, California. They do have bilingual services, and it's also a service that not just services adults, but also children, which is always very important to understand that we need more services for children. Especially today, I just can't even comprehend everything on that. But I'm so grateful to you today and being here and sharing all the information and services and your stories.
Thank you.
Thank you. Muchas gracias. Lazo Camati.
Thank you for joining me today, Angela and Carlos. I'm so appreciative of your knowledge and wisdom and bringing us forward into a centered and grounded awareness of where we can start our healing journey. So if you'd like more information about Instituto Familiar de la Raza, you can go to their website at ifrsf.org to learn more about their programs and events and how you can also donate and get involved in the community to help support this organization. You can also reach Angela on LinkedIn, and she is at Angela, A-N-G-L-A, Gallegos Castillo on LinkedIn, and also Carlos Izaguirre as a Indigena Health and Wellness Program Director on LinkedIn. This podcast was sponsored by 5E Leadership and Marketing, co-founded by Latinas B2B.Marketing. The executive production is done by Teresa E. Gonzalez and co-produced by Robert Lopez. If you'd like to learn more about Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, please visit our website at latinasb2b.com and stay informed and subscribe to our newsletter. If you'd like a sponsorship opportunity or know how you can collaborate with Latinas from the Block to the Boardroom, please visit us at info@latinasb2b.com. Gracias.